of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Peter. All Holy Father, in your divine wisdom and love, you chose that the Blessed Virgin Mary should play her part in the mysteries of salvation. Grant that by heeding the words of Christ's mother, we may do what he commands in the gospel he has given us. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones. Exercise hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. The word of the Lord.
Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to Mary, the angel said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
The reason why God is so great a lover of humility is that he is a great lover of truth. Humility is nothing but truth, while pride is nothing but lying. The very moment God sees us fully convinced of our nothingness, he reaches out his hand to us. Those are the words of the great Saint Vincent de Paul when addressing the importance of humility in the life of the Christian, the disciple. Look throughout the Gospels, especially Luke, and there are numerous examples of Jesus' preference for the humble, the sick over the healthy, those who lack over those who have, the poor over the rich, the simple over the sophisticated, children over adults, the humble sinner over the self-righteous saint. The words prior to the reception of communion, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." Again from Scripture. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart." Why is humility so important for the disciple, the follower of Jesus Christ? Perhaps it's because Jesus' mission as our Redeemer was to save us from the opposite of humility, that is pride, the original sin by which Adam and Eve felt they could get along just fine without God. The Incarnation, God the Son, the Eternal Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took flesh and became man. Thomas Aquinas, known for his writings in the Summa and trying to take the complexities of theology and break it down in an understandable way, towards the end of his life, found that humility means seeing ourselves as God sees us, knowing that every good we have comes from him as pure gift, that we depend upon him for everything. And thus that is what is meant by being poor in spirit. We hear today about being a poor church, but before we should be a poor church, we need to be a humble church. Because a humble church depends upon God in his providence and in his love for us. We know for those who are struggling and join an AA program that as one begins recovery, it begins admitting with honesty and humility that one is helpless over drink and entrusts the recovery to a higher power. And that's in secular circles. But what about for us here as Catholic Christians? There is humility before God, and that is needed. But what is lacking so often today is humility before others, where we put others first. We don't seek attention or honor or personal glory. And so if humility is so important, why is it lacking in so many? Just look at our church. Many think that salvation depends solely on our efforts. Intellectually, we know that heaven cannot be earned, but there's a certain Pelagian streak in a lot of Catholics. Pelagianism, as you know, is a heresy of the 5th century, that human beings alone can take the necessary steps towards salvation on their own, and that God's grace is not absolutely necessary for salvation, but it's only an aid toward it. Now, God forbid if one would be condemned of Pelagian heresy, but yet it's present so often. But that doesn't mean that we don't do certain things. Participate in the Eucharist each week. Seek healing forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. Have acts of sacrifice and mortification. But we do them not to produce or to earn holiness, but to open ourselves more and more to God's love and mercy. Father Connell and I, from our days as vocation directors, knew of seminarians, well-intentioned, but sometimes very misdirected, who felt that they personally had a mandate to save the church on their own because of their own efforts, their own gifts and talents. But it's not just in seminarians or even priests. It could be that member of the parish staff or even the volunteer who believes that the parish cannot continue without dedicated service. And consequently, they hold back and clutch authority and power, keeping good people out and not allowing people to develop talents. You see this in certain priests who will not give up their parish, or bishops who keep showing up at gatherings as if the worst thing in life is to be forgotten. But there's another threat to humility, and it's pragmatism. Hard work is valued in our society, our nation, and our church. But we know that not everything comes because of our hard work and our effort. In fact, the 127th Psalm expresses it best, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Whenever about to embark on a project, as the diocese, the question must be asked, is this of God or is it of man? Is it of an ego? We need to be reminded that we're not defined by what we do or how much we earn or what we achieve, but who we are as beloved sons and daughters of God. And truth be told, we're usually closest to God when we are weakest, unnoticed, even broken. Look at the life of Saint Bernadette, a peasant who spends much of her life living in what was determined to be unsuitable for any type of living. It had been first a mill and then was a prison, and was so bad that not even prisoners were kept there. But because of financial ruin and false allegations, Bernadette's family was forced to live there. She was, again, a peasant with a learning disability, and yet it would be to her that Mary would appear. St. Catherine Labouré, to whom Mary appeared almost 30 years before, was a novice to the Daughters of Charity, entrusted with the mission of having a medal struck, now known as the Miraculous Medal. But after that time in 1830, when Mary appeared to her in the chapel of the Mother House of the Daughters of Charity in 140 Rue de Bac, Catherine would spend the next 40 years of her life without notice, caring for elderly men, and the privilege of seeing our Blessed Mother would be known only to her confessor and a few of her superiors in the community. And as we heard in our gospel, our Blessed Mother, who responded to this great blessing to be the mother of our Lord, does so with gratitude. You see, gratitude is the opposite sign of the coin from humility. And as Mary will cry out in praise and thanksgiving for the many gifts that God has given her, she will say later, "My being proclaims the greatness of the Lord." Recognizing that all is gift, the humble person is eager to avoid comparisons. And why is that? Because pride loves comparisons. The proud person remains restless as long as anyone else has more. But there's no better example for us than Jesus himself. 30 years of unrecorded preparation for 3 years of service of active ministry. In the church, February is often dedicated to what's called the hidden life of Jesus. Those 30 years of quiet prayer and preparation, listening, maturing, guided by Mary and Joseph, teaches us that humility requires patience. And this isn't easy in an era of microwave spirituality. There's another difficulty to the road to humility. And this is probably more present today than ever before. It's the stress on personal rights, the belief that we are owed things, or what we might just simply call entitlement, that we deserve special treatment and preference. And it's probably connected with an overemphasis on victimhood. I'm not appreciated. You owe me. Now, all of this can be present in the church and in our own lives. Probably nothing more tragic than the ambitious priest or bishop who becomes bitter because his own plans are never realized. What's owed me? And the minute we go down that path of feeling sorry for ourselves, that often leads to failures in the area of alcohol or drug abuse or sexual misconduct and reckless behavior. Now, humility teaches us to put all of this in perspective. As St. Paul said, if I'm to boast, I boast in the cross of the Lord. Or why should I boast? All that I have received. No, the exaggerated emphasis on personal rights is an overemphasis on me. Humility makes us aware of our weakness, our faults, but that God is there for us and that he will place others to be there, whether it's a friend or a spiritual director or a confessor. Final threat to humility in our own life is nothing more than arrogance. It's this mistaken notion that God owes us an explanation for all that happens or exists in my life. And this is just not with immature or young people. You have people who've lived their whole life and believe that somehow God owes them more. What then helps us to grow in humility? Well, of course, prayer. Think of those times, those encounters with Jesus, with the rich young man, when we're told that Jesus clearly loved him. That is, he wanted what was best for them. Think of Jesus looking at Peter after he had denied him for the third time, or the woman at the well. You see, with our Lord, no deed or word is hidden. He knows us better than we know ourselves. I suppose that's why going to Lord's is so humbling. Waiting in one's underwear to go into the baths with people from all around the world, looking at people with disabilities, terrible diseases, crippling injuries, And here they are with a sense of peace and joy because they know they are held in the hand of our Lord. When one is in Lord's also, there's an encouragement to go to the sacrament of reconciliation and confession and hear the powerful words of forgiveness of God's love and mercy. If you and I want to grow in humility, we must have prayer active in our lives each day. And there must be the sacrament of confession, reconciliation, to admit we have done wrong, to voice that, and to hear the words of absolution is a source of great grace and healing. And it's probably also good to have in our life someone who's not afraid to tell us the truth, to offer critique, who's confident enough in the strength of that relationship to tell us the things we need to hear. The beauty of Lourdes, and in fact of many of the great saints, especially of France, is that it's characterized by examples of humility. At a time when so many struggle to live their faith, perhaps it again is the words of Vincent de Paul that offers us additional insight and consolation. For Vincent writes, "The most powerful weapon to conquer the devil is humility. For as he does not know at all how to employ it, neither does he know how to defend himself from it."
O Blessed Virgin Mary, we thank and praise you for your appearance to the child Bernadette in the Grotto of Lourdes. I am the Immaculate Conception. For many have obtained miraculous cures for physical and spiritual infirmities. We come before you with complete confidence to implore your maternal. Obtain for us, the sweet mother, the granting of our. For spiritual healing for our son and his family, for a successful surgery and complete healing, for everyone infected with the coronavirus, that the doctors find a cure for it, for my husband's healthy sobriety. Please watch over me as I continue to struggle with my job. Please continue to show my husband the significance of the Catholic faith. For abundant blessings on our daughter and her fiancé, their wedding, marriage, family, and home. For forgiveness and reconciliation in my family. For the conversion of my wife. For healing for my son with autism and anxiety, please bring him peace from past hurts. Heavenly Mother, I lift up my son, once an altar boy, now as an adult, has stopped going to church. I ask for forgiveness if I had failed him. He loves money more than God. Bring him back to our church again. Touch his life and his wife to be a believer once more. I ask in humbleness to your great love. Please pray for him. For these and all the intentions which we bring to this Lourdes Novena for healing, O Blessed Lady of Lourdes, Mother of Christ, who had influence with your divine Son while upon the earth, you have that same influence now in heaven. Pray for us that we may obtain from your divine Son our special requests, but only if they be in accord with his holy will. We make this petition to the same Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Our Lady of Lourdes, Saint Bernadette, Saint Vincent de Paul, so the devotion tonight will be the blessing of religious articles. So if you've brought any of those from home, you can just come forward and invite the clergy down to spread out in front of the altar. Just go to someone and present your items for blessing.
He who is mighty has
Let us pray. Lord our God, fill with the Spirit of Christ those who have sought the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that our actions may always be guided by that same Spirit who shines upon your church and who sanctified the entire life of the Virgin Mother. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we're almost to the end here. Tomorrow is our final night of our Lord's Novena for Healing. The solemn closing will have the choir, the symphony brass, and a number of priests, along with Bishop Daly, to administer the sacrament of the sick. So if you need to receive that sacrament, or you know someone who does, please invite them to be here. I know Sister Sharon is making arrangements to have a number of our shut-ins come tomorrow night for the final service and the anointing of the sick. Again, 5:15. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.